wonderful, wonderful presence. You know, church, you know, for years I've talked to you about the great outpouring and the revival and past revivals. And in times past, we had the revivalist pictures, huge pictures out on the wall up above, from Katherine Kuhlman to Smith Wigglesworth, John Lake, Alexander Dowie, Seymour, even Jack Cole, and some of those way back there, and Alan, many of them, faith, great faith healers. I've read probably every revivalist book that I could, read everything Katherine Kuhlman had, even listened to her funeral service. Or Robert did her funeral service, and one of the things he said there was in the last days, God was going to raise up the entire church to do his work. And it'll probably forever be this way to a point that we build our services around the word and we build our services around the message. But I believe God is saying that he wants us to build our services around his presence. Dee said something to me a while ago. She said, maybe we've been muzzled too long. I said, I believe God wants us to build our services around his presence and who he is and what he can do and what he wants to do. And I've always loved the book of James and the book of Jude. And I've read the four Gospels over and over in Acts. I don't even know how many times, but every time I got to James, even as a young woman, even in my teenage years, I realized that there was something different that James said that none of the others had said. And then you look at Jude, and that's where we're going to go this morning. Go to the book of Jude. It's just before the book of Revelation. And when you see these men, you hear them say it differently because they were half-brothers of Jesus. They grew up in the same house with him. So the others were inspired by the Holy Spirit. All of them, this book was inspired by him. But then these boys take it a little farther because they grew up in the same house with him. And I love their writings. And I don't know, it seems like maybe one pastor said this to me when I was a young girl, but I took it. And he said, everyone should read the book of James over and over and over. So I would read it about every 3 months. I don't know, 3 to 6 months. I would read the book of James over and over. Now, I may not be able to give you scripture and verse, but when somebody quotes something or somebody says something or I bring it out, I know that's out of the book of James because I love him so much. But in this hour that you and I are in, especially in 2020 and now even up to 2021 and all the political mumbo jumbo and all the stuff and the lawlessness, no one knows what's going on. I mean, nobody knows on this earth. No one. Really, what is happening. But we who are spiritual minded, we know that there's a root to this problem. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly what's happening. But there is a root, and all we're seeing is this surface of something is happening, and it's ugly, and we don't like it. But we don't know what to do about it, and neither does anybody else. But the good news is, for the people of God, we are so loved by him, and we are so special to him. He has prepared places beside him for you and me. And so with that, I'll say, as long as our dependence is upon him, we'll be just fine. See, I function, even hearing all the news and all the lawlessness and the horrible things happening, I function in peace with it because I know he's in charge. And I know I belong to him. Now, they are not allowing him to be in charge of the world, but he said, I still turn to heads of kings and princes. I will do with them as I please. And I will turn the nations in the way that I want the nations turned. So as long as you and I are in the beloved company and we are in him, then we've got a lot of great things. So I want to talk to you this morning out of the book of Jude and show you what a blessed people we are. I'm just calling this message today the beloved. And I'm not talking about God's beloved son. He said, oh, that's my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. But then he called us beloved many times, and the disciples and the apostles would refer to us as beloved because they knew he had a special love for you and me. So let's take a look today. We'll start right there. I want to say also it's good to see Teddy with us today. Teddy, welcome home. Heard you had a few falls, but we're glad you're back and in one piece, my lady. God bless you. Did I see Linda Combs somewhere? Here you are. God bless. And Rick and Annette home from Arkansas. Yes, you guys, I saw you up here. God bless. Good to see you. Well, as we look back through the Word, and those of you that have read through the Word, you heard a familiar phrase, which I learned at first through reading books by John Lake, one of the catalysts for revival. And John Lake would pray, and revival came into the nation of Wales, and that young man was only like, 18 or 21 years old. But he'd say, oh God, rend the heavens and come down. Rend the heavens, and that word's such a huge word. It means tear the heavens, just rip them apart and come down. What was he saying? Because God, we have not seen the miracles according to this word. We haven't seen what some of the other generations have seen. Rend the heavens, Lord, and come. And then when you look into David's writings, King David, you would see him saying, oh God, rend the heavens and come down. Because we didn't see what Moses and the people of God saw. We didn't see those kind of miracles. And you would see David saying, King David, rend the heavens and come. Isaiah 64, the very first verse. Isaiah says, oh, God, rend the heavens and come down to us. Why were they praying that? Because their nation was such a disastrous mess. Way back there, it was a mess. And when it got that bad, they were saying, oh, God, just tear the heavens apart. Rip it apart just like you did in the temple. When Jesus died on the cross, the curtains were rent. The Bible says they were rent from top to bottom to top. Excuse me, top to bottom. Tore. Same word. And today we cry the same thing. John Lake cried it just a few decades ago. Today we still are crying out the same thing. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have heard pastors or evangelists or somebody on TV, or it's come out of your own mouth, that there is going to be a great pouring in our lifetime? How many's heard that? 10 of you. I said, how many's heard that? Okay, did any of your friends ever say that? You've heard it said over and over. Could this many people be wrong in the kingdom? Could this be wrong, inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, let's look and see what Jude said, the brother of Jesus, and I love, he's so unlike the world today, but I want us to take a look and go back. This is actually written in the very first century. Angel, I read that in your little book, your little Bible book yesterday. It was written in the very first century. If you look at the front of your Bible, if it gives you a little explanation about the book, you'll see it was written. That's about a few years after Jesus came, died, and was resurrected, and went away, and the Holy Spirit came back. All that happened in about the year 30. Okay, now by the year 90, I'm not talking about 900, I'm talking about the year 90. Because we're in the 2000s now, and this is our 20th century. 20th century. Jude and Jesus was living in the very first century. Can you imagine life then? All right? Well, let's read it. I'll show you his humility here in just a minute. Jude chapter 1, verse 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and a brother of James. To those who are called, sanctified, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. All right, let's just stop right there. I want you to see in verse 1 how unlike he is the ministers today and people around us, even us today. People are name callers. If you have ever met an important person or sat with an important person, you will see people who, when you get in the midst with them, they like the name call. It could even be the mayor of the city, just, you know, a small fish in a big fish in a little pond or a little bowl. Okay, but here you've got Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, who came up in the same home. What did he say? I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ, but I'm a brother to James. I'm a brother to James, but I'm a bondservant. That means I am his servant. What? Well, I told you last week about Mary. That was her baby. That was her son hanging on the cross. But when he said it is finished, and when he was resurrected, he became her Savior. Now, the Bible tells us in another place that his brothers and sisters, they all left him. His disciples left him except for John and his mother. And so Jude probably left too, and so did James. But when all this happened, they realized, oh my, this little boy we grew up with, who was so pure, and he was different, and he was compassionate. And we knew those people were lying on him. We knew he was resurrected from the dead, and we also know he went away, and we were there when the Holy Ghost came. He wouldn't even lower himself to say, I was his half-brother, but I was his servant. A slave is one who was bought. A slave was bought with money. And then they worked for a person for free. And you and I were bought by Jesus. We were bought by the blood of Jesus himself because he loved us. We are his beloved. And no wonder Jude said, I am a bond servant. I am a bond slave of Jesus Christ. You and I are here on a volunteer basis because we were bought by his blood. Amen, church? Hallelujah. So he said, with that knowledge, I'm the brother of James. He didn't expound on James at all. But we go into verse 2 because he says, I have a letter for you, saints. Now, in the old church, I used to hear one of the sisters talk about the saints and the ain'ts. I almost titled it The Saints and the Ain'ts, and I thought, no, I'll just call it Beloved. But he talked first to the saints, and you said, oh, no, I'm not a saint. Yes, you are. If you're in Jesus, you are. Verse 2, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. So first he says, I have a message for you who are called of God. And it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how broke you are, or how rich you are, what your social status is, what you do for an occupation. It does not matter. When you were born again, you are called of God. He has called you. John 15:15 says, I have called you. I have chosen you. You did not choose me. We are a chosen people. We are called. And then he says, you were sanctified by God the Father himself. Called and sanctified. We'll break those words down. And preserved in Jesus. Now, when he talks about being called out, to be called is to be called out. And when we met Jesus, you were sitting in here today because you are not a part of the world. You don't want to be a part of the world. You don't mesh with them. You don't fit with them. You've got a treasure on the inside of you that makes you different. We are not better than anybody. We are not superior to anybody, but neither are we below anybody. Because Jesus is in there. He said, you are a called out, and I love the next word, sanctified people. And sanctified means to be set apart. And when I saved you, I set you apart for me. And it said, and that happened by God the Father. I love that. You were called and sanctified by God the Father, and you are preserved. How are we kept? How are we saved? How do we rise above the stuff that we come through? Because we are kept in Jesus. We are, Colossians says, our lives are hid with Christ in God. Our lives are hidden with Jesus in God. We are inside Him. He is inside us. All right? Now, I want you to put up, I told you we were going to stand Jude, but please go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. This is so familiar to you, but I want to show you what a special, special people we really are. You are beloved, and we are a special people. Look at what Peter said. He was a follower of Jesus. He was a disciple. He wasn't in Jesus' immediate family, but he was in the spiritual family. Here's what Peter wanted us to know. But you, say me, you are a chosen generation. That means you've been called and set apart. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Don't act like Prince Harry and pull yourself out of the kingdom. Don't do that. That's very dangerous and very, can I use the word stupid? Can I use the word ignorant? To pull yourself out of the kingdom, especially at such a time as this. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You say, America's not holy. Yes, it is. Yeah, America's holy. You know why? Because you and I are in it. And we're a chosen generation, and we are a holy people, a holy nation. We are His, look at this, I love this, His own what? Y'all better say it. Special people. We are a special people. And you have to know that. You have to know it. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. We were once there. We were all in darkness, and He brought us into His marvelous light. Who once, we were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now we've obtained mercy. We weren't a part of this family. We were out there. But when He called us, and He sanctified us, and He set us apart, and He preserved us, and He kept us, that's why, you know the old song we used to sing, we've come this far. How? By faith. Leaning on the Lord. I always loved that song. Sanctified and preserved, protected. Preserved means to be protected, kept, and maintained. Now, if you don't want your house to go down the tubes and your car to quit running, you have to maintain it. You have to get the oil changed. You have to change the tires now and then. You just got to have somebody do some things to it. So that's to maintain it. And Jesus said, I know you're going to have issues. You're going to have stuff in your families. You're going to have stuff in your head. You're going to have stuff in your heart. Just going to be some things going on. But He wanted us to know. But with all of that said, Jude, the brother of Jesus, knew. He knew because he grew up in the same home. He said, but I know He will keep you. You are preserved in my brother. You are preserved because He bought you with a special price. Oh, yeah. Okay, then he says, let's go a little farther now. Look at this. Then he's speaking to those in verse 1, and then he says, carries on, with mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Mercy, peace, love. Mercy, peace, and love. Called, sanctified, and preserved in Jesus. Now, then he puts a colon after Jesus Christ, and then he just kind of adds this, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied. Now, remember the book of Acts? Whenever the Bible says that they were added to the church daily, such as should be saved, they were added. But when we get here, it says, Acts chapter 2 said they were added to the church daily. But by the time you get to Acts chapter 4, it says the church multiplied. And now you've got here Jude talking about some wonderful things. You're called, you're sanctified, you're preserved. And then he goes on to say, but mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Not just a little bit, not just enough, but multiplied. I mean, an overabundance to the people of God, to God's beloved. All right, what's mercy mean? You know what it means. We've always got these little phrases, but it simply means forgiveness and compassion. Oh, we were given forgiveness. When you go to God, say, God, forgive me, I goofed, and then go away from it. He said, turn from it then. Don't go do it again. But we've been given forgiveness and compassion. When you say, how could God forgive that man for what he's done? He knows the man. He knows where he came from. He has compassion. And if that man is genuine in his heart, with his mouth, he said, Father, forgive me. Jesus will say, God, he knows not what he's done. Forgive him and wash him. And then compassion. Mercy means compassion, forgiveness. Now, when we were in Israel, there was a word they used when we first got there. They said shalom. When we stepped on the bus driver said shalom. When we got off, it was shalom. When our guide answered the phone, she'd say shalom. And when she hung up, it's shalom. It's all about peace, 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 peace. Jesus came out of Jerusalem. That's God's chosen country. It's a holy nation. And they've got a lot of unholy people there. They've got Orthodox Jews that don't even believe Jesus is the Messiah. And yet millions of us fly in there year after year to go see this holy nation. Though many don't even believe it. How does that happen? By that forgiveness and that mercy. Because God says, you are my beloved. So he wants us to have peace. Look at that. Mercy be to you, peace. Excuse me. Mercy, forgiveness, and compassion. Peace. Look at that. Peace. Shalom, church. Completeness. He wants you to be complete and whole and mentally and spiritually at peace. Now that, when we say peace, that doesn't mean that you won't have chaotic winds around you at times. I mean, we always will until Jesus comes. There will be the chaotic mess, and we have to walk on those waters. How are we going to do that? By the mercy he gives. So peace doesn't really mean an absence of chaos. It just means when it comes, he'll quiet you on the inside. And as long as we're depending on him, and know that he has called us, God the Father's called us, he sanctified us, and he's blessed us with mercy and peace. He said, I want you to have peace in your mind. I want you to have peace in your heart. I want you to have peace in your home. I want peace in your marriage. I want peace with your children and your life. And multiplied peace. How many could use some multiplied peace? How many could use some multiplied mercy? Oh, yeah. Multiplied mercy and peace. And then he says, and love. Woo! I want you to have love multiplied more than enough for everybody around you. A love that knows how to last. It's not here one day, but I don't like you tomorrow. Because I didn't like the way you acted. I didn't like what you said. Love today can be so shallow. People say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And you can tell they don't love you. But love, just dear. I mean, when Paul talked about agape love, he talked about agape over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And he talks about love is kind, love is not puffed up, and love doesn't do this, and love is that. You get that in your heart if you don't have it. 1 Corinthians 13, this kind of love, that agape love, never ends. It's unconditional with God. But Jude, see, folks, what I'm telling you this morning is Jude meant to stir all these things up in us. He wanted to activate. He wants you to be activated to know that you were called and you're sanctified. And you're preserved in Jesus, and you've got mercy, and you've got peace, and you have love. And he said, I want it all multiplied. He didn't say, I want it all. He said, it is, period. He's just telling us the way it is. Now, let me come down here to where we are. Church, we cannot operate in the same way we operated in 2019. Those days are past. Those days are over. We are a new breed. We've learned some things. The church faith is different. Your faith is different. Every one of us are different in some of the ways that we think, some of the things that we do, but we cannot operate in that same thing. And so Jude is saying, folks, my father's sweet beloved, I need to write you a letter. Now listen to me. He was talking to the church, and he said, I was going to write to you today about our common salvation. I wanted to tell you how wonderful it is. Verse 3, he calls us beloved. Verse 3, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I mean, we're saved by the blood of Jesus, and our welfare is in him, and the healing blood of Jesus, and deliverance is in that. Though I wanted just, that's what I was going to do, is talk to you, oh beloved, who is loved by God, about our common salvation. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. Not a faith, but it's very, very important that I write to you and talk to you about contending earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. He said, we delivered it to you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Peter, and me. He talks about himself and James. He said, we brought this to you, and we talked about this to you, and we delivered it to you. At once and for all of you. I mean, it's to whosoever will. And he said, but there's a problem going on right now, and you must contend. You say, what's that word contend mean? And many of you have been saved at all. You know that word means to do battle. It means to fight with everything that is within you. And I would have liked to have talked to you this morning about some other things, but I also felt it very important by the Spirit to talk to us about contending for the faith. I tell you, church, you better fight for the faith. You say, what is the faith? How is it different from salvation? Well, we receive salvation and everything that comes in it when we came to Jesus with all of our heart. But the faith is the gospel. The faith is Jesus came, he died. He was resurrected, he went away, the Holy Spirit came, and he's really coming back. That is the gospel in a nutshell. Know what you believe. Know that you believe that we are saved by the blood of Jesus. Know that you believe we should be filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen? Know that you believe that Jesus is soon to return. Amen? And know that he is the divine healer. And if you know those four doctrines, no one can take that from you. Because we are living in the day of apostasy. And that means when the truth of God is being twisted and torn and turned. In Romans chapter 1, Paul said, they have changed the truth of God into a lie. The gospel is the truth. All right, let's see what he says here. He says, here's why I need to talk to you about this. And here, first century, he's talking in the very first century. I'm talking to you in the 20th century. We don't look like those folks. We wear different clothes, drive different cars, live differently, different lifestyles, different houses. Everything about us is different. 20th century versus first century, but here's why he said, I've got to talk to you guys about this. Here's why I, as pastor, got to talk to you about it. Verse 4. For certain men, say certain men. See, and that's certain men and certain women, certain people, have crept in unnoticed. Old King James says unaware. Who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men. Who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Sounds like today, don't it? He said, these people have crept into the church unaware. They have crept in unnoticed. They've crept in on our TVs and the internet. And they've crept in on YouTube. And there's so much there, and you can watch anyone and everything you want, and some of them are living filthy lives. And they're belching out fake words, and false prophets are speaking, and they came in unaware, and nobody even buys, many buy the lies that they're saying. Others know that it's wrong. But they're speaking out untruths. Look what it says. They turn the grace of our God into lewdness. You know what lewdness means? I looked that word up. Listen to what it says here. Sexual behavior, even unacceptable by community standards. Even prisoners will hurt people of lewdness. The old King James called them filthy dreamers. It's an old-fashioned word. Filthy dreamers. Verse 8, look at that. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignities. Sounds like the 20th century. But this kind of lewdness goes from sex trafficking, horrible things against children, bestiality, all kinds of evil darkness, lewdness. Look it up when you get home. I don't want to say too much in front of the children. Look it up. But these people that commit these kind of things and human trafficking, even the prisoners don't want them. I heard that even over at the county jails, they will beat them to a pulp if they get near them for what they've done. It's an uncommon type of filth. Old King James, these filthy dreamers. And I'll tell you, when truth comes under attack, and today the truth of God is under attack, the truth of marriage, the truth about abortion, there's so many truths. Paul said they turned the truth of God into a lie. And here he said they turned the grace of God into lewdness. We've got wonderful preachers on TV. I'm not going to call their names this morning. I already have so many times, and I don't want to beat a dead horse because that's pretty much what they are. But they've so talked about grace and lifted up grace. It's an old-fashioned term that gives people a license to sin. And it's okay, but let me tell you something. Jesus did not die on that bloody cross so that we could stay in our sins. He died to deliver us from our sins. Amen? And if we are saved by grace and we don't change, who are we, church? Who are we? These guys preach grace, 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 and many people in the church buy it off, swallow it hook, line, and sinker, and don't even know it's wrong. And yet you and I were saved by grace. We live by grace. We couldn't make it without grace. But we still got to live a holy life. He said, without holiness, no man will see God. And he said, be ye holy as I am holy. But he said, these guys have crept in and turned the grace of God. Listen, I'm just saying, church, you better fight. You better contend for this faith. Moms and dads, you better contend for the faith. Seniors, you better contend for the faith. Young people, students, you better contend and we better fight for this faith. You say, how are we going to do that? Well, Jude, the brother of Jesus, told us, he said, look, let me just remind you of something. After he talked about them turning the grace of God into lewdness, and denying the Lord God, our Jesus Christ. Oh, people spit in his face today. Jerry Nadler, remember on the Congress floor, chief senator, when he said, the will of God has no place on this floor. We heard even this President Biden the other day. He said, people's going to be talking about gun control. He said, people are going to have to do more than pray, folks. He said, all these people done is pray about it. It's not work. Okay, so they're pushing God out. One woman, Madeline O'Hara, pushed prayer out of school. I wonder what the church was doing in 1960. I wonder why the church didn't contend for the faith, and they let that one evil woman rise up. She crept into the church and into the world and took it out all by her power. How did that happen? I'm telling you, Jude said, we've got to get this thing activated, and we've got to do it. He said, but let me remind you, verse 5, I won't read all this. You read it when you get home. Read this whole, it's like a little postcard. It's only one chapter. Read it again when you get home, but look at verse 5. But Jude says, I know he's probably being accused of being old-fashioned and legalistic and all that. But he said, but I want to remind you, though, you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And then the angels who did not keep the proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day. He said, remember the angels. Now, don't just remember the people coming out of Egypt. You say, yeah, but we're under grace now. And they weren't. Well, can I ask you, those angels lived in heaven. How much more grace can you get than dwells in heavenly places, huh? He said, but remember those angels. They were kicked out to earth and locked in chains. And then he wants us to remember verse 7. He said, don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them. They give themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh. And they have set forth an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. A strange flesh, homosexuality. Verse 8. I read to you these filthy dreamers. The flesh, they reject authority and speak evil of dignities. He said they talk evil. They don't care. They have no manners. They'll talk about pastors. They'll talk about godly people. They'll talk about a godly 100-year-old. They'll talk about a godly missionary. They'll just put them down. But he says, even Michael, the angel, when the archangel was contending with the devil, when he was fighting with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses in verse 9, he didn't even bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. When you're talking to the devil, you say, the Lord rebuke you. This is what he said. He said, verse 11, woe to them. They've gone in the way of Cain. He had murder in his heart. They run greedy after the heir of Balaam. Balaam would do anything for a dollar, for money. He said, they've gone the way and the prophet and perished in the rebellion of Korah defied Moses and came against Moses and Aaron. And the Bible says that the earth opened up and those rebellious people fell into the earth. So Jude said, I'm saying, let me just remind you of these things. And then he goes on to say, these kind of people, the ain't, they are spots in your love feast. You are loving God and you are beloved, but these will spot you if you make relationship with them. If you listen to these people teaching doctrines that are lies, if you join yourself to people who are not in God with you. He said they are spots and they are nothing but a cloud without rain on a dry and thirsty land. They are like a tree without fruit when you're hungry and want fruit. They have nothing to offer, but they're bringing lies. But he said, I'll pluck them up from the root twice. And then he goes on, verse 14, says, Enoch was seventh from Adam. He was teaching that Jesus is returning again. But here's what I want to give you another note to the beloved, and we're quitting. Verse 17, look. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you there would be mockers in the last day who would walk about according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Okay, so he said, beloved, we told you this stuff was coming. So now you contend for the faith and know that you've been called, you've been sanctified, and you've been preserved, and you have mercy, peace, and love. So you remember all that. But remember, we told you. Now look at verse 20. But you, beloved, here it is again. I've got another note for you, he says. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Build yourself up. How are you going to do that? You've got to meet with God every single day. Get in your secret place. Pray. Talk to him. But you've got to meet with him. You've got to have time with him. Build yourself up on this faith of the gospel. On your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues, pray in tongues. But be filled with the Spirit. And then he said, look at verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. He said, I know he keeps you. I know he keeps you. And you're in his mercy. But you keep yourself. You keep yourself. You know how to do that. You know what's bad manners. You know what's evil. You know when you're telling something that's not right. Keep yourself now and be in his mercy. Now that was directly to us. And then he said, have compassion on people. When you're having a bad feeling about somebody, then you go to God and present it. And see if you can't understand. Have a little compassion somewhere. See what the Lord says. He says it's like pulling them out of the fire. Let's close with this. Hallelujah. Verse 24. What do we do now? Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of the glory of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, look at this, who is alone wise. He's wise all by himself. Nobody knows what's going on, but he's wise and he knows. Be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and how long? Clear down to the 20th, 30th, 40th, 50th century. Come on and stand on your feet with me, church. Keep yourself in him because you are beloved. You're beloved in him. How he loves us. Oh, God. The battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. Our battle belongs to the Lord. You brought the battle down. We did it first. And that's okay. Oh, my God. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. If that's the only prayer you know to pray during the week, then pray that. If the only way you know how to worship him is say hallelujah, then say that. You need to go down and read who Jesus was there on those last verses that Jude said. His dominion belonged to him. He's all powerful. He's all glorious. He's all majestic. Then read that. But tell him how wonderful and good he is, church, because you are beloved. You are beloved of your precious Father. Nobody loves you like him, and nobody ever will love you like that. If you're looking for love out of your husband or your wife like that, husbands and wives, you need to love each other as Christ loves the church. But if you're solely dependent on that and you've lost your peace, then you better get back over to Jesus. He's the only wise one. He's the only one that knows how to love you like that. And he will fill in the gaps. Amen. Well, wonderful Jesus, we're thankful for this day. And God, I pray this word will resonate in it. It belongs to you. It is the word of the Lord, Jesus. I appreciate your family. But Jude said he was your bondservant. He said, I'll serve him for the rest of my days, though he's my brother. I am his servant, solely his servant, and Lord, we are your servant. We will not take advantage of your goodness, but Lord, we do want to have all you said we could have. We receive that mercy. We receive that love, Lord. We receive your peace. Lift up your hands, church. Come on and take it. He said, I've got multiplied love for you. I have multiplied peace for you. I have multiplied mercy. I want you to have it. All right, if you're called, lift up those hands to God and thank him for calling you. Thank him for separating you. Oh, yes, come on. Thank him for separating you. Thank him for preserving you. He said, I will keep you in perfect peace. Oh, we praise you, wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah, we bless your name.
I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory.
Sister Lori had a word, and I went and asked her, and she said yes. So Lori, come, get it off your heart.
Praise the Lord, church.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, church.
Praise the Lord.
I'm from a church that's kind of loud, and I'm kind of loud, so praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. I just want to let you know that the enemy is coming after identity.
Come on.
God has been dealing with my heart on identity. It's so heavy on me. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. But the last part of that scripture is he has come to give life.
Come on.
And that much more abundantly. And that's what we got to hang on to in this end time. This is the end time days, church. We have to look up to God. God is our help. He is our healer. Whatever you need is in God. He has not come to steal my identity. Is he going to take your identity? Is he taking your identity? Are you going to allow him to take your identity? We are Christians. That means that we are servants of the Most High God.
Yeah.
It's time to step out and step up and open up your mouth and cry loud. People out there are dying.
It's up to us to open up our mouth
and say, we serve a God. We serve a healing God. We serve a redeeming God, an everlasting God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
For the battle belongs to the Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to the Lord.
Tell them you're gonna see it. You're gonna see your victory. Tell them
you're gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs.
You tell them they're going to see it.
You're going to see your victory. You're going to see your victory. For the battle belongs to the Lord.
Amen. Yeah. Woo. God is good and his mercy endures forever. Keep your identity. Come on, don't be speaking out of both corners. We've only got one truth, and that is the truth of faith. That is the faith, and we will fight for it. You fight for your family. You fight for what belongs to you, and you fight for what you believe. And don't let the demons of hell discourage you. tear you down, or try to steal it. For our God is not the author of confusion, and those demons came to kill, steal, and destroy everything they can. But God said, I've given you peace, I've given you joy, I've given you mercy, and I've multiplied your love. Amen. In Jesus' name. Woo, the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine on you. May he be gracious to you, turn his face toward you, and give you peace and love and glory in Jesus' name. Amen? God bless you. I love you so much. See you Wednesday night at 6:30.